Hi.
Hey.
I think my phone
I'm gonna
died or
have
something. I'm sorry.
so many emails in my inbox from that. I think I get
Sorry.
like four. I think I get like four for every call.
I think it's two for every call because there's two lengths to the call, but I could probably fix that eventually.
Well, anyways, I think that each one of those was like two calls because I was calling you at the same time you were calling me. And we
I'm sorry.
both flipped over to the other. That's all right. It's all right.
Hurt my feelings that you said that it's easier to have cancer without me.
What?
It hurt my feelings that you said it's easier to have cancer without me.
Really?
I understand that.
I mean, would would you say that is consistent with how you think about it?
I don't know. I hadn't really thought about that. Sorry.
You haven't like thought about what it might be like to carry the burden of living with someone who is abusive towards you for 15 years?
Yes, I have thought about
And
that.
how that might like compare to the burden of having cancer surgery?
I guess I don't really know what that surgery is going to be like.
I mean, I've not had surgery, but trust me, it's nothing.
What did you say?
Like it's a nothing. It's literally like not a big deal.
Okay, well, that's good.
No, that's by way of comparison, like for you to kind of like be able to think about the enormity of difficulty of living as a victim of domestic abuse.
I
I
understand
have
that.
a I have a high threshold, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Any news on Georgia?
What?
You heard any news on Georgia?
I don't know what you know. I think she's on a IV antibiotic right now. But she's checked in at Tampa. You know this already though, right?
You just told me that they had surgery and found that it was a lot worse.
Yeah, but like I also don't know like what she's put on Facebook and stuff. As much as, you know what I mean? Like,
No, I don't know.
or you didn't even look at Facebook?
I don't get on Facebook very much.
Okay. Well, that's what I meant. I wasn't sure what I know, you know what I mean? What I've told, because I know some stuff that she hasn't put on Facebook, so I don't know what I've told you and what you've seen there, but, they sent the actual infection to pathology so
Yeah.
that maybe they'll get cultures in a few days that'll confirm that she's on the right antibiotic or
Yeah.
tell them they do something more targeted. And then they need to take out the hardware that they installed during her spinal surgery. but they can't because that's the only thing holding her together. So they have to wait until her own bones have, like, healed from the surgery to the point of fusing themselves together so that they can take out the artificial hardware from her spine. Because
That was the original plan, or they have to take it out because of the infection?
Because of the infection. Oh, I don't know if they would. No, I don't think they were going to have to take it out. I think they have to take it out just because of the infection.
Oh, man. They got to put
because
it back?
I don't know.
Jeez.
But, yeah, that's the problem, is that it's all housing infection.
The whole surgical area.
That poor kid. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Can't imagine having that many surgeries as a tiny little kid.
Yeah.
Did Dr. Kraft ever call you?
Dr. who?
Kraft.
No, his phone system must be down all week or something.
No, that was the other doctor. That was the doctor in Gainesville.
Yeah.
He told me he was going to call
you.
That's
a joke.
Yeah.
Do you get it?
We don't go down, do they? Yeah.
I can't understand you. You sound all garbled.
I said phone systems don't go down, do they?
I can't understand you. You sound all garbled.
I said phone systems don't go down, do they?
Oh. How would one know?
I don't know. Experience.
What?
Experience.
I can't understand you. Sound all garbled.
Yeah, I think my connection's not very good here. I'm sorry.
I think it's whatever speaker you're using.
I'm not. I'm just on my phone. But I think it has to go over Wi-Fi.
Oh.
Well,
so,
I'm disappointed that he hasn't called you when he told me he wanted to.
Well, maybe this week's crossword puzzle was particularly challenging.
I'm wanting him to finish his report so he can send it to my therapist here.
What?
I want him to finish his report so he can send it to my therapist here.
Yeah? Did you tell him that?
Yeah.
What?
Yes, I did. Are you and the kids going to come visit me this weekend?
Yeah, definitely.
Yay.
I think that's good for you?
Doing that. Yeah.
Okay.
Most definitely.
Okay. Have you been learning or talking at all about your capacity for empathy?
No. I can bring that up with Ted.
What?
I mean, I guess I have talked about it in that, I guess I talked about it in the context of our relationship, feeling like I didn't have it.
Well, I was just thinking about, like, well, I mean, you're saying you think that I'm imagining that, but you really have, like, amazing empathy for me?
No.
Okay. You were telling him that you actually don't?
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But I think I phrased it more like, well, I don't remember how. Something that sounded more like I weirdly couldn't feel as close to you or something as what you did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think it's about feeling close at all. I think it's good. And that was when you were like started saying that whole thing when I got back from Todd about us not being connected, and it made no sense. With, you know what I mean? Made no sense. There's no, like, none. There's no, like, distance or disconnection or any of that. But
I never understood why you said that, because I felt like you said that for years, that I had issues with my mom. And
yeah, but it's not an intimacy problem. You have problems with, like, not trusting me and thinking that you need to fight me and thinking that I'm going to ruin your life and thinking that I'm, you know what I mean, like, those types of things. But that's not a distance. When another couple talk about a distance in their relationship, they're not fighting each other. They don't care enough to fight each other. Like, they're living their own lives and ignoring one another, not worried about how the other person feels about them because they don't feel much for the other person. Like, there's no, we have no context of that whatsoever. The level of intensity and passion that we have going consistently.
Okay. Well, I will bring that up with him.
But it's interesting that one of your strategies for deflecting when you were abusing me, and it was pointed out to you that you were abusing me, or it was pointed out to you that it wasn't normal for any man to not stop what he's doing that's harming a woman when he sees her crying and just want to do it more and prove that he has the right to do it. You would point out that you're a very empathetic person as evidenced by your empathy for other people. But the truth is, you have empathy for me just fine. Unless it's you that's doing the damage to me.
This is me what?
You're the one who's doing the damage to me. Like, if you see, like, another person, you know, outside of our marriage who's hurting, you're going to feel compassion for them. If I walk in the door and I'm visibly sad and I say to somebody at Publix hurt my feelings, you're going to feel compassion for me. But if you are actively doing something that is actively destructive and aggressive and selfish and unkind and hurtful towards me, then when you see the natural effects of that, they don't move you at all because you feel completely justified in whatever you did, and you convince yourself that you're justified in whatever you did because it's the means to the end of getting what you want. Kind of have a sense of entitlement from the get-go that makes you think that you have a right to fight for whatever you want.
I will bring that up with him.
What?
I said I'll bring that up with him.
Yeah. I think the best word for it is that there is a compartmentalization of your ability to empathize that you can just turn off when you're fighting. What?
Yes, I can understand what you're getting at. I think part of the problem is that I don't always understand why you're hurt.
Right, but I'm saying if somebody else was doing the same things to me and you were watching as a third party, you would have no trouble. Like, it's not an intellectual problem, it's not being able to understand my pain or where it's coming from. It's an ability to shut that off when you're only focused on what you want. And you're right to pursue it at all costs.
I will explore that with him.
I'm not talking about Ted. I'm talking about you.
No, I know. But he's supposed to
I'm just saying he doesn't do anything to go to Ted and say, my wife says that I turn off empathy because I'm selfish. Like, because that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's me. And it doesn't really do any good to hear what I think or what I'm analyzing when you're the one who's inside your own brain having chosen to do those things.
I get it. Just saying I will talk about it with Ted. He can help me process what's going on.
Did you hear the word I used?
The word that I used?
Yeah.
Well, kind of something like you're talking through a tin can right now, because so can you say it again?
Yeah, you too.
Are you talking about empathy?
No. Compartmentalization.
Okay.
Which isn't just
so you understand.
You've done that like with selfishness too. You've done that like with selfishness too. Like you can be really, really crazy, insanely off the chart selfish. And when somebody mentions that you're being selfish, instead of thinking about the actual action that you're doing and how it serves you and how it doesn't take other people's needs into consideration, instead you point the finger at, oh no, I'm not a selfish person. In every other area of my life, nobody would say that I'm selfish. So that proves that that's not an accurate adjective for me. But you can take like a single area where you're trying to get what you want and justify those actions and be really selfish just in that one micro area because it serves your purpose. That's a compartmentalization. Which I think is a unique thing. I think, you know what I mean? A lot of, I think in like emotionally and socially healthy people, tend to experience, like a consistency of personality and a consistency of values and a consistency of like how they deal with people across different situations and different relationships and different scenarios.
And what kind of people?
Emotionally healthy people.
Oh.
You know, people who are well, like they, you know, they might have a tendency towards selfishness, but it's going to be kind of like about the same amount of selfishness in different scenarios. But when you have, like, this major, like, off-the-chart, highly selfish, and then majorly off-the-chart, like, not at all selfish, you know what I mean? It's just kind of all over the place depending on what it is you're trying to do or convince people of or get. I think that there's an instability of personality traits.
Thank you for sharing.
You're being sarcastic?
What's that?
Are you being sarcastic?
Uh-oh.
You usually say that when you're mad at me.
I'm not mad at you.
I know, but did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
Usually when you say thanks for sharing, you are mad at me.
Not mad at you.
I wasn't... Okay. All right. So, considering that your mom accused me of not responding to her messages about her taking the kids to Honey Lake because I don't want it on the record that I'm refusing visitation on the day I had to go take the LSAT, and
some of that's not keep it clear to me.
Yeah. Considering the insanity of...
There you go. That's much better, thank you.
What?
That's much better, thank you.
Oh. Considering all the craziness that was going on when I took the LSAT and the fact that I was thinking about it, like, the whole time and couldn't focus on the test at all, I got a crazy good score.
Oh, yeah? I figured you would.
Yeah. I mean, considering my actual aptitude, it's terrible, but in the context of what was happening that day, my aptitude, like, I should be able to, you know. I should be, technically, like, based on my actual brain, I should be able to get a 170, but with all that was going on, I would have expected, like, a 140.
Yeah. What'd you get?
Yeah. I got a 159.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
But you're not going to apply to law school?
I'm a what?
But you decided not to apply to law school?
Well, that's what I've been thinking this weekend, just because I'm having trouble figuring out how to, you know, really care for the kids in that.
That's a good decision.
Yeah. Because, I mean, a lot of people would look at it. A lot of people would look at it and they would go, well, look at you. You want to, you know, divorce your husband and be a single mom. You've got to work anyway, so your kids are going to public school. Like it or not, get over it. Gainesville has amazing schools. So, you know, like that would be so many people's way of looking at it. But trying to actually wrap my head around the fact that even if my kids are okay going to public school for 3 years, I don't know that with 100% certainty at the beginning of it to be able to make that commitment that I'm not going to need to pull one of them out for whatever reason 2 years in. You know what I mean? Like you just can't box yourself in that way when it comes to children's development, I don't think. Stakes are too high.
Yeah. I want us to be a family again.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm proud of you and your LSAT.
Thanks. It is fun.
That's good.
Your mother is not fun.
Oh, gosh, I know. You should see what I'm dealing with today.
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, I decided to stay, and she asked me to write the administration a letter about my therapy, which my new therapist was totally on board for it. I was like, no, he thinks it was kind of ridiculous. So I wrote a, like, super polite note just explaining what some of the problems were. I sent it to the lady, and she responded back, thank you for your note. I've informed the CEO and the clinical director about some of your concerns. We'd like to offer you 3 free days. And, like, 5 minutes later, my mom sent this very long, caustic note basically asking for more. Oh, I gotta go back and read it. And then she sent, like, a follow-up note saying, oh, I was typing my note as you sent yours. I'm so sorry that we got confused, but I'd still like more free stuff. But I'm pretty sure in the first note she alluded to the note, to the response that I got, so that seemed bogus even. But anyways, so now I'm like stuck in the middle.
Yeah. That's interesting. So Ted thinks that you weren't getting good therapy for your first 2 weeks.
I mean, I'm honestly having to read into it because he'll, like, start to say something that seems like that, and then he'll just stop himself. But I do get that impression.
Yeah.
Because he'll say something like, well, I don't know. I don't like to talk about other people, but then he'll, like, stop himself and say, let me think of the politically correct thing to say. If you want to stay longer, you got to talk to so-and-so, and if you want to complain about it, that's the person to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's pretty affirming.
Yeah. I feel like it needed to be said regardless of if they gave me any comp, because I just
think
he's,
Right. The caliber of what people are paying for.
Right.
That's not a hard thing to deliver on.
Yeah. Gotta get going, Mommy. It's time for a chapel.
Oh.
Is there something you need for
me? All right. Well, I mean, I guess if you're doing stuff like that for your mom,
I don't know how to handle her, honestly.
Oh.
Did I ever tell you about catching her still having a relationship with Bert?
Yeah. It was weird, though, because when you told me, it sounded like you had been hypnotized into thinking that she was coming to terms with the fact that she had had an emotional affair, and it sounded like you were, like, empathizing with her because you were in literally the same boat as her on that same day.
I mean, I don't think that she had an emotional affair.
Yeah, but that's how you were talking. Like, it was like you and she had been having conversations about it. She was able to frame it in a much more palatable light.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
I do think, I don't know, it's hard to tell with her, but she acted contrite, and she supposedly shut down all her Alabama store stuff. So if that's all true, she might be taking actions to take it seriously. It makes it so gross how she tried to get Jeff to buy a bed and breakfast thing, or Airbnb thing.
Jeff to buy what?
Airbnb property there. Remember when we were looking at that?
Yeah. Well, I just don't know what Jeff's deal is, obviously.
know either. I don't know if he knows or doesn't know. I think he doesn't
know.
She acted like...
So you think that he was being genuine on that phone call when you told him? And that somehow after that she's been able to just carry on with him being aloof?
I don't know. He's got to have some... He had to have some knowledge of it, I feel like.
That's what I mean. So you don't know what kind of stuff she lets him do.
He could be snowballed now, though. But, honestly, there's no way to know.
Yeah. Regardless, it's all so dark and so evil and so dysfunctional and so dishonest and so manipulative and so sinful. You know what I mean?
So here's the only thing. I don't, she was obviously stressed out about my issues, so I don't know if that could have had some impact on her taking her life more seriously. Hopeful that maybe that's true.
Yeah, but I mean, you see,
but I wouldn't bank on it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like how she was after her sister died, or how she was after you called her out on it the other time, or how she was, when she, I don't know, she's been so many times. It seems like a tactic to, like, get you feeling like you're feeling right now, like, oh, mom, just.
Yeah, I don't know. I never bank on it anymore with her.
Yeah.
That does remind me of a whole other thing they sprung on me. Madison texted me wanting the kids to be her ring bearer and flower girl at her wedding in Mexico next year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I actually just haven't said anything about it because I was like, gosh. I'll forward you that text.
Okay.
Also, she's pregnant again.
Yeah. So, it's next, so it'll be after she's got her own baby.
I think so, yeah.
Taking her baby to Mexico.
Right.
For a wedding.
Yeah. Sounds crazy.
No, I mean, if that's the plan, that's the plan.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're that far from Mexico, right?
Yeah, they're not. Mom said she'd fly me. I presume she'd fly all of us.
What?
Yeah, they're not far, and Mom said that she would fly me, and I think she probably will fly all of us if we want to go.
Oh, okay. Well,
Did you want to process through it some more of what Mom's doing to you right now? Because I really do gotta go.
What?
Did you need to process through any more of what my mom's doing to you right now? Because I really do gotta go.
I can't understand your words.
Did you need to talk about my mom's actions towards you right now? Because I really need to go soon.
No, I mean, I don't know if you figured it out, but obviously what your mom did on the day before Christmas to me was...
Well,
clearly,
I don't remember.
She called me to ask if I was willing to talk about, like, kicking somebody out of one of our rentals.
Okay.
And I told her that no, actually, there's a whole long list of reasons that I'm not comfortable talking about that directly.
And she did about, I would say, 7 or 8 repetitions of going, oh, I understand that. Oh, of course, that's completely understandable. But I was just thinking that it would be, like, good to, you know, not have to go through the attorneys. And, you know, after each repetition, I told her very calmly, I can give you my attorney's phone number, but that's not something that is safe for me to be communicating directly about. And then she started escalating it by telling me that I was being irrational and completely unreasonable, and there was clearly something wrong with me, and that, and I said, listen, you know, as well as, you know, anybody from your own experiences, when a woman has been victimized by a man, she shouldn't be, you know, obligated to continue to subject herself to. And she goes, oh, I don't believe that for a minute. That doesn't victimize you. Oh, come on. How? Tell me how. And I said, listen, this is unreasonable. You know, that I told you I shouldn't be talking to him. To him directly, and she, I didn't say you should talk to him directly. When did I say you should talk to him directly? Now you're twisting my words. Listen to you. Listen. And then I started, my voice started to shake, and I said, this is not okay. I shouldn't. And she goes, oh, do you hear yourself? Oh my goodness. Do you hear yourself? Oh, Aaron, you need some help. You know, like, was just going all out. When she had faked at the beginning of it that she was, like, kindly and courteously asking my permission to broach the subject.
Yeah.
And then, then she told me about how I was lying and making it all up, and that I could tell other people whatever I wanted to tell other people about our phone conversation, but she and I would both always know the truth.
Gosh.
And then when we got on, text message, lying about it, like saying that she didn't know why I had to get so emotional, because all she was doing was simply asking if I would be able to talk about Dustin's living situation. But clearly I have something going on emotionally that prevents me from being able to be rational about this topic, and, you know, like, making it sound like she hopes that I get some help.
Yeah.
And then, you know, saying, like, how much she loves me, and it was just horrifically dishonest and horrifically manipulative. And I could tell that, like, she very much felt like she had accomplished her objective of making me cry. And, you know, she was just kind of
funny. I don't think she wanted to make you cry, honey.
manipulative right now. I'm telling you right now that you are being manipulative right now. You want to gaslight me into thinking that somebody who is doing an unspeakably evil act against me had my best interest at heart, and that it was because of something on my end that I cried. And I don't deserve that from her, and I don't deserve that from you.
Okay, honey. Well, I'm
and you can talk
very
to
sorry that she called
it.
You at all.
It helps understand that people like that are not safe to talk to. It's not about me crying, Dustin. It's about her seeing me crying as an opportunity to convince people that there's something wrong with me, and that I'm a liar, and that I'm not to be trusted. And that's something that she did to your father. That's something that she did to Yvonne. That's something that she did to Deb. That's something that you've seen her do to a lot of people. Try to cast them as liars and try to cast them as unstable. And so, if she was actually out to do what she said she was out to do, which is just, like, have a conversation about the rental, then she wouldn't have felt the need to lie about it after the fact. Her text said, I never suggested that you talk directly to Dustin. And then her text said, And I never suggested that you talk directly to me about it either. You made all of that up. But that makes no sense. You know what I mean? If you actually heard our conversation, like, you would know that she recognized that she way crossed the boundary by demanding that I talk directly to you or her about something that I had every reasonable right to say I'm not comfortable talking directly to you or her about. And any reasonable person would say that it was wrong to try to push me to do that when I had given her my boundary 8 times in a row, calmly and directly. And she knew. She knew. She knew. And then that was why she lied about it in a text right after the fact to cover up that she was doing something wrong.
I'm sorry, Mommy, but I truly got to go right now. I'm sorry.
Okay. I mean, you need to be able to recognize those things for what they are, though. That's,
yes, I do. I understand.
That's not a safe person to be communicating with at all.
Say that again?
That is not a safe person to be communicating
with
at all.
I understand, Mimi. I gotta go. I'm sorry.
Okay, bye.
I love you.
All right, bye.